Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work with strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
The Big Ones!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to
The Big Ones!
I'm Maria.
And I'm Amanda.
And this is The Big Ones. Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within yourself. Will you like what you see?
Adam Schatz.
Oh, hi. I love it.
Adam, welcome. You guys know Adam because he's a musician. He's like a big time musician.
Oh, I conned you. I conned my way on here.
He's in the band Landlady. He did a tiny desk concert, for gosh sake.
That's true. That's definitely true.
That's big time.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a wonderful thing because I'm adjacent to your industry, which means there's like a perception of things that isn't necessarily accurate, which I think can be said the other way too, because, you know, you both are big deals to me. So this is a beautiful thing.
That is so nice. And so Adam is a Big Ones listener as well. So we always love to have our listeners on as our guests because it just, you know what? It makes things easier.
You get it. You're here and you've already gotten it. You know what I mean? We don't have to explain it.
No, it's an issue of respect, really, when you think about it. It's just you want to have people on who respect you.
Yes. Yeah. And when Adam invites Maria and I to be on one of his albums as, yes, I don't know, backup singers?
No, front.
It'll be mutual.
Front singers.
Frontal singers.
I'll be in the back. I'll go to the back. Yeah, what I'll do, I'll just make a, I don't know, I'll put together like next week or something, like 3 hours of music. It'll be a lot of drones, a lot of sort of like ambience, maybe some like layered bits of incoherence. And then you both just do your things and it'll be out. I mean, we can do this with a really quick turnaround.
We would love that. You know, we used to make music. That's no lie. We did. Amanda, do you remember the song about the flea that we wrote?
I couldn't forget. And I have to say, Maria's the real musical genius in the twosome, but I just follow her lead.
What?
And we also did a song about Amanda was a space alien that came down. Do you remember that song?
I remember a girl
named Amanda. And it was about she was an alien. She came down and she taught all these children about life. And then she went away in the end. It was techno song. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. Now, Adam, we don't really know each other that well. So
not
I think
at all.
before we get to your little big one, like, may we ask you what makes you tick?
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. What type of, how dare you? How would you answer that? Truthfully.
Do you know that that's supposed to be a positive thing? Because Amanda and I both thought it was negative. Like, what makes you tick? What ticks you off?
I didn't think it was negative. Only you thought it was negative. I knew. To me, it's like, what makes you tick is like, what drives you?
I had no idea.
That is, and I'm not going to shame you for not knowing that. Because there's plenty of things that any of us don't know at any point in time. This is how good I am at being inoffensive.
He's riding the line.
Nobody knows something sometimes. No, what makes you tick, I think that's just, that's a good general, like, what makes you,
Which I'll boil it down for you. Like, where are you from? Mm-hmm. Where do you live now?
Perfect.
What are you into?
Yeah.
And like, favorite color, please.
Okay. Orange. And here's the deal. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I should have given everyone a chance to buckle up. It was orange has always been my favorite color. And then there was like a pretty big chunk of childhood where I lied about it, where I like, I knew that I didn't think it was a cool favorite color. So I was like, okay, I'm going to say blue. Obviously.
Of course, that's what the kids want to hear. All kids, that's what kids think that they need to say. They need to say they love blue.
They want you to say blue, and they want you to gel your hair up, and they want you to wear your Abercrombie and Fitch. And I did, you know, none of it was me, but you don't want to be you. So that's, you know, that's what made me tick when I was 12, for sure.
Wow.
I grew up outside of Boston in Newton, Massachusetts, and then I lived in New York City for 15 years, close to it. And I just moved to Vermont, to Southern Vermont.
Wow. That's my dream place to live.
Yeah. It's a magical state. I am loving it. It's me and my partner just moved here in like the end of January after spending pretty much a year not in the city because neither of our apartments were conducive to us being in the same place. So we lived with my mom for a while and we bounced around and it's, that like, having a year of not having your own space and then suddenly having your own space is so great. And then when you look out the window and that space is in the state of Vermont, it's even better. Wow. So was there another question? There was another like sub tick question. I feel like I didn't get all of them.
No, I think you got it. Because the thing that I'm taking away is that you love orange. I didn't hear a thing you just said. I just know that you love the color orange.
She's still
orange.
Caught on the orange.
I feel like I did it in the wrong order. And I should have even saved that for like the very end. What about you? Colors.
I love green.
I love green too. I love blue. I've notoriously never really had a favorite color. I know I look good in blue, and I know that. It's unfortunate.
You do?
Yes, because it my eyes.
Mm. What a gorgeous color. Blue.
But I also blue. Love orange.
That's my favorite color, actually. Blue is my favorite color.
No, it
color.
Isn't, Adam.
No, it is. Adam, I forgot. What it was
He's
is I forgot.
He's changing his story. He's changing his story.
I forgot it's blue, and I can skateboard, but I won't show you. But I can.
Adam, mm-hmm. Adam, we got to get to your little big one. What Great. Do you need help with? We're here to help. Please let us help you.
I'm so fortunate to be here. I tried to think of a dire one and I couldn't, which I think says good things about where I'm at in my life. But this has been on my mind for a long time. And I think Maria, especially towards you because of your baking, your avid baking.
Oh, have you been watching?
I'm don't quiz me, but I know it happens. I clicked around and I know it happens.
Fair.
And
that's fair.
I've been cooking a lot to go back to the, you know, what are you into? That's sort of over the past year, we've been just cooking constantly because we can't go into restaurants. And so just trying to like learn how to make all the restaurant foods you miss and get into Thai food and Indian food and all the wonderful stuff like that. But there's something that happens when you look for recipes on the internet. You have like your trusted sources. So there's like, if Melissa Clark tells me to do anything, I'll do it. It doesn't matter how messed up it is. I'll do it. And then there's sometimes you have ingredients and you're just like, I have polenta and I have this squash and I have this other thing. And I'm going to type that in and see what comes up. And then the results are all recipes on websites that are made by people you don't know and they're pretty. The websites are pretty. They like worked hard on them and they've given them names and the names are all the same. It's two things. It's like butter and scotch and porky and pine. And it's all like very floral and very good. There's a million of them.
You're totally right.
And I feel this judgment creep in. I feel this bias creep in. And it's like, but these are real people And sometimes they're good. Yeah. Sometimes the recipes are totally good. But just by seeing, it's something I'm not proud of when I see. It's sort of like, where do we put our trust? How do we, like, do I? Because I feel like the whole Bon Appetit thing is a perfect example of, like, we shouldn't have been trusting them anyways. We're like,
it's
oh,
so
yeah,
hard.
Please.
But the recipes on Bon Appetit, I mean, even though they have their issues, they're pretty good and they're well, like, vested, you know?
Super good, but yeah.
I know what you mean, and I think what's going on is you're judgmental of bloggers.
Well, yeah, that, sure. There's definitely a thing of, like, well, anyone who takes the time to do anything, like, yeah, what
you.
Gives them the right?
Should be yeah. made fun of.
Should be made fun of, or it should be me doing it.
But Adam, I get yes. this, because fool me once, shame on you. You yes. know what I mean? Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool okay. me three times, and still shame on me. Because you get into these recipes where you think, oh, this, again, I don't go back to the same blogs more than once usually, because I've never had a really good experience with a recipe from a blogger. I usually,
really?
But here's the thing. Can I give you the secret lesson?
Yes.
You have to read the comments. You have to read. Now, I get it. This takes time. But if you don't read those 100 comments where someone goes, wait a minute, you said to put it at 425 and mine was done in 10 minutes at 350. And then they go, yes, every oven's different. So just, you know, adjust it to, then you're going, well, if I didn't read that, then I'm burning. Because she didn't write that in the recipe. She wrote that in the comments. Or he.
Or
and Maria, he. And Maria, you're talking about baking.
I'm talking about baking, but I'm going to let you in on something. I'm also talking about Instant Pot recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go there just for baking. I look, and then it makes you go, well, God, then I'm not going to listen to anyone except for Ina Garten. Because anytime I make an Ina Garten recipe, it turns out beautifully.
Well, and because the stakes are high for Ina, because you know there's someone else in the house who has Jeffrey. To eat that food.
Yeah.
And if there wasn't Jeffrey there to sort of balance the scales, I think it wouldn't. There's these
she'd
stakes.
Be blogging.
Are, oh, she'd be blogging.
If Jeffrey wasn't there, she'd be blogging.
Oh, she'd
wow.
be blogging on the street. It would. The thing I have learned is the worst. I think I'm the most judgmental of the websites that look very, like, aesthetically pleasing. Because the ones that look really bad often do seem to produce the best food.
Interesting, because maybe things can't be stylish and delicious, because sometimes something that's messy actually tastes good. Like, did you guys ever see, this has been made fun of a bunch, but Martha Stewart, before she got, like, a food stylist for her Instagram? So
no.
she used to post, like, pictures. She would just, like, take a picture of her, like, half-eaten, like, potato gratin or whatever, and it would be like the ugliest picture, like the most unappetizing picture of this food. Like, it was poorly lit, it looked disgusting, but she would just post it and be like, whipped up some potatoes, and then everyone would be like, this looks horrible, but I'm sure it tasted amazing. And now she's since worked on her web presence,
but I think that's better. It's been sort of driving me up the wall just thinking about how we're, like, supposed to, like, this isn't what it looks like. And it's one thing if it's a picture in a book, because it's like, I bought the book. I want it to be pretty because I bought the book. But now it's like, you know, I follow a lot of chefs on Instagram. I can admit that. And just if the thing looks like a painting, it'll never be enough. It'll never look like that when I make it. Things don't look like that in real life. And food is
okay,
supposed to
right.
go in your body.
I
you know?
See what you're saying. Now, is, I would say, you seem like a pretty competent chef, Adam. Like, you're doing quite a bit of cooking. Uh-huh, I might uh-huh. suggest getting away from recipes altogether. Maybe try
Amanda,
branching out. I'm just
careful,
saying. Like,
careful.
See, this is what I'm saying. And same with you, Maria, because when you're glued to the recipe, that's when things go wrong. And this is what we had her on the podcast, but Samin. You know, her book totally changed the way that I cook, because now maybe I have the polenta and the squash in the fridge. I'll do a quick Google for ideas. And then I trust myself to know the steps to take to make that right for me.
You're absolutely right.
Other thing is that I'm getting into now is tasting, because for a long time I didn't want to taste the food I was cooking because I was going, ugh, no thanks. But now I understand that you have to taste as you cook, and that's where all the flavor comes in.
That's true. And especially as you eat. It's a really like key component of eating, I've found.
Yeah.
Well, Maria doesn't eat through her mouth.
I eat through my eyes.
So I feel like we should probably scrap everything we've talked about so far, because that's pretty boring compared to Maria eating through her eyes. And I'd love to just focus on that for a while.
So what's your beef here, that you don't want to be judgmental of these people, or are you just asking for permission to be judgmental?
I'm afraid I didn't have a good enough dilemma, and I just wanted something to talk about with you.
You just
both
wanted to talk about your recipes. We get it. I love talking about this stuff.
It was something that grinded my gears. I wanted, you know, it's about knowing who and what to trust, and just, and I think sometimes I feel bad when I know that I'm being more judgmental than I have to be. Because when you feel bad feelings, I don't know, it's like when you're like you're a kid and you learn about sarcasm and you're like, okay, that's going to be my thing for the rest of my life.
I'm going to be a sarcastic kid.
That seems great. And then at a certain point, you know, suddenly you're 32 and you're like, oh, this is like maybe makes me feel bad most of the time, because it like sort of anchors you into a pretty dark place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of like that. I just want to let people do what they do and not hate them for it.
But you don't want to be bamboozled.
No.
And that's what some of these recipe bloggers do. They bamboozle.
A lot of their recipes, too, are just derived from other recipes. Like, a lot of that stuff you're going to find on, like, New York Times or something, you know?
It's all the same. There's only so many ways to roast a chicken. You kill the chicken, you put it in the oven, it's done. But I think it goes back to what you were saying, Amanda. It is like, you can't shut off your instincts. If your instincts, is for how to cook, and also, is this person delusional in the way that they're like telling me about their children when I just want to know how to make corn cake?
Scrolling down past the, my kid got first place in the, and you're like, can you give me the ingredients? My God, I don't need to learn about your trip to Ojai. Anyway, I hope that helped.
It did help. I'm a changed man. Yeah. Thanks, big one.
So, Adam, now we need you to tell our fans, listeners, haters, that they need to subscribe, rate, review, and join our Patreon.
I'd love nothing more. This one, I feel like this one goes out to the haters. Oh. This is for all the haters out there. There's too much. For you to go around hating. Pick something else. Don't pick this. Pick something else to hate. There's so much out there. It's a beautiful world. It's teeming with podcasts. And I think that used to be a negative thing, but it's actually a good thing. It's like air now. We can breathe them. So if you have a problem with the big ones, stop. Stop it. Appreciate it. Appreciate the things that are good and that are designed to be good. And then give them bits of your money incrementally every month. And that's the haters, and we can transition into the appreciators, which is, you know, thank you. Thank you for supporting good people doing good things. Don't change anything about what you're doing. It's about those haters who have probably turned this off already. I would say 5 minutes into the interview, honestly.
Of course.
And we do like to suggest that, as just a jumping off point, people do give 20% of their income, their yearly income, to the big ones Patreon.
Well, to each of us, because that's a beautiful thing, is if each of us gets 20% of their yearly income, that's still like 80% left for their, you know, their taxes and their loved ones and whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think anyone has any income anymore?
No, I don't think so.
I don't.
Unless you're on unemployment.
Well, that's true.
Well, with that being said, please put any money you have into our Patreon. You get two bonus episodes a month.
Yeah, what's nice about supporting the arts is you don't have to support a lot of the arts. You just have to pick one, and then it'll sort of, this isn't trickle down, but this is sprinkle out economics. So what happens is you put most of your income into the Big Ones Patreon, and then that income sprinkles out, because I'm getting a pretty good chunk of that just for this appearance, and then the residuals are going to be mind-blowing from what I've heard from other guests.
You're in for a rude awakening.
What?
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a very interesting big one. Babies.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so this is a big one from one of Maria's favorite movies.
No, it's not. This is a movie I watched last night and it freaked me out. It was on Amazon Prime. I put it on, not quite knowing what I was getting into, and boy, was it nutty.
And I've never seen it, and I'm just going to take a stab in the dark and say Adam has also never seen it, but I don't know.
So it could be his favorite movie. Who knows?
We don't know. Okay. You are married to a former NASA astronaut who was forced to retire years earlier so he could save his family farm. But he has never given up his dream of space travel, and he wants to build his own rocket, despite the government's threats to stop him. Your spouse just took your three kids out of school to help build the rocket, and your credit card has just been declined because they are using up all the funds for their dream. What do? Do you allow your spouse to continue on their dream of space travel? Or do you hit the road running and take the kids with you? And this, of course, Adam, do you know what movie this is from?
No. It sounds awfully, it sounds awfully familiar, though.
It's a movie called The Astronaut Farmer.
Farmer, yes, sure. Did not see it.
And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's called The Astronaut Farmer. He works on a farm. He has a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's building a spaceship on the farm, so it's like The Astronaut Farmer, but his last name is also Farmer.
Right, which if I didn't know any of that, I would think maybe it was about like an alien who plants astronauts and then harvests the astronauts to sell at the... farmers at the astronaut farmers market. That would be the sequel.
That's a movie I would watch.
Spoiler alert, the end scene ends and right before credits come up, can you take a guess what song starts playing?
Was it Rocket Man?
Rocket Man.
It sure was.
Yes.
It sure was.
Okay, Maria, I won't ask this. I have a question. I want to know if he gets to space.
I'll tell you later.
Tell us later. But can we just say off the bat, like, we'll just go around and give our first impressions and I'll start because I'm having a very strong reaction. I hate it. I hate him. And this is ridiculous. You've pulled our children out of school so you can go to outer space. I'm just trying to keep my family fed. So let's grow up, get a job, and start being adults.
Adam, what is your out the gate?
Oh, well, what are they going to learn? What are they going to learn in school that they can't learn in space? You know, it's the. I think my real issue. There's really potentially three different dilemmas, depending on the perspective we choose. So where this is framed, and I'll stick to this one because this is how it was. Put to me, but this is I'm the wife, and my loony husband is the one pulling the kids out of school, wants to go to space. If I'm one of the kids, that's a totally different dilemma, and I think it'd be pretty easy for me to choose building the spaceship with my crazy dad. If I'm the crazy dad, it's also an easy decision, which is like, do you follow your dream or do you not follow your dream? You have to follow
not necessarily at the expense of your family. So that could also be an interesting choice too.
Unfortunately, if you believe in a psychotic dream so heavily already, I think that doesn't even cross your mind. It's almost like logically it'd be wrong not to pull your kids out of school, because who's going to help you build the spaceship ultimately? I mean, you're just a humble astronaut farmer.
The reason he pulls the kids out is because things start coming up around town saying, like, you're building a rocket in your farm, and people start talking. And then the head of the school is like, what's going on here? And basically doesn't understand his dream. And he pulls the kids out being like, you don't need to go to this school. This school doesn't understand dreams. You guys can stay home and help me build the rocket.
Who is in this movie? Is it where, I mean, it's, I know this is separate.
It's Billy
but
Bob
I would,
Thornton.
Right.
Billy Bob Thornton is farmer, the astronaut farmer.
And who's
Virginia
his wife?
Madsen.
Is she age appropriate?
She's age appropriate, and she's very understanding. She is very understanding.
I feel
and Bruce Dern is her dad, and he's around. He's great. Around.
He doesn't like it though, does he?
He honestly doesn't have an opinion on it, and I think he actually does kind of enjoy watching him build the rocket.
That's good. That's kind of against type for Bruce Dern. I think. Well, I mean, how's the farm doing? Let's start there.
The farm is going to be taken away.
Of course.
Because, and that's the reason he had to leave NASA was because I don't quite understand it, but the farm was getting taken away. And now they're going to take the farm away because the government's saying you can't do what you're doing. So he's...
Wait, so he worked for NASA?
He did.
So he's qualified.
He doesn't.
But he did.
Yeah. He's...
He knows about space stuff. He's not like...
He knows... He owns a spacesuit, Adam. He owns a spacesuit.
Dress for the job you want. That's what I always say. Has there ever been a movie where the farm is just like crushing it? They're like doing really well in the farm. I can't think of a single one.
No, but that'd be a good movie.
Maybe Babe.
Oh, yeah.
Babe,
the farm's crushing it, except for those wolves that come in.
Oh, no.
Spoiler.
Let me know when we're doing that one.
I think we have done a Babe to Love It. Am I crazy?
I definitely talked about it.
I love how this is framed as like a world dilemmas podcast, but it's pretty much just movies at this point, which I appreciate.
We don't know anything
it's
else.
It's getting hard
That's
to
great.
Think of them. Okay, but Adam, I gotta make you just. I gotta
yes,
make you
sorry.
Say your answer off the bat. Are you gonna let this guy build the spaceship?
No, I'm gonna sabotage the spaceship, probably. I'm gonna do something to it. I'm gonna do something to the spaceship and then pretend to be supportive of like, oh, that's a drag.
Yeah.
That something went like irreparably wrong. But we gotta move on with our lives.
I am gonna say that this is Billy Bob's point of view in the movie. When Virginia Madsen is kind of like puts him to the test, because there is one scene, Amanda, where she does throw a plate.
Okay.
Just one?
Okay, so she throws one and then I think she apologizes.
Oh my god, come on.
He says, I'm basically not much. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a couple things. I'm not much of a father if they can't look at me and see that I've got a dream.
That's bullshit.
Because I've got a dream. And then Bruce Dern does say to him, he says, what you've done with your family is you've gotten your family to dream together. And that's not easy to do because they're all working on a common goal. To which I say, well, you know, build a puzzle. You know, you don't have to use up all the family's funds.
Build a puzzle, put it in a bucket, tie the bucket to a balloon. Let the balloon go to
Let
space.
It go. Let it go.
Your dream's in space. You did it.
The big question here is, you know, at what point do you give up your dreams? Is that necessary to have a family? What do you owe your family? Are dreams meant to not be
realized?
Gotten.
Yeah, dreams are made
to be broken.
Amanda, please. Yes, thank you.
No, that's what I was going to say.
We should each say it, though. So we have clean.
In yeah, case so we know.
Yeah, and then we can kind of cut between it.
Dreams are made to be broken. Maria, are you going to let this guy build a spaceship? Like, what's your personal
choice? No, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. Because when she got to the grocery store, I'll tell you what, and it was declined. And she said, you know, why don't you hold all this stuff right here and I'll be right back. I thought to myself, well, that would be it. You know, the minute that card was declined, I would just be done. I'd be done. I'd say, you can't.
And this is the thing. I like, what if I'm just like trying to put it like it's not a spaceship, it's something else. Like, what if my husband came to me and he said, like, it's my dream. I've been working on the screenplay for 10 years. I know this is going to be a hit. 100% this is going to be a hit. I just need to take our retirement. I need to take the $80,000 out of our retirement fund to fund my movie. This has been my dream. And to me, that's a hell no.
Even if it's the best screenplay you've ever read?
Absolutely, because I'm just like, it's just not, sorry, I'm maybe more practical than a dreamer these days, but I'm like, it's just not practical. Can't we have our dreams and also like be functioning humans in the world who can pay bills?
Yeah. And why is space so important anyway? Like, why does he need to go to space to feel like a full human?
His life sucks. The farm is doing nothing. And I haven't seen this movie, but I feel like his relationship probably wasn't in great shape at the beginning of it. So when you're in a bad situation, you try, you know, you invent what the escape is going to be. And it's all around us. Space is, you know, it's the final frontier. Space was made to be broken. There's a Ray Bradbury short story, and I don't normally do this. I don't normally like say things like that in the middle of a conversation, but it's only because I read this book this past year, because this was the year where I could read books again. And first of all, I didn't know anything about Ray Bradbury being such like an incredible science fiction writer. He's so great. Just super like mellow, weird short stories.
Martian Chronicles, dude. Martian Chronicles.
I had no idea. And this is one, there's one called Dark They Were and Golden Eyed. And it's all about an Earth colony on Mars. And then the dude of the family like realizes they made a mistake going there. And he starts trying to build a rocket ship to go home. And I think it's a much better version of the movie that you're describing.
Because he was doing it for his family in that one. And this one, he's doing it just for himself.
I think so. Even in the story, his family like wanted none of it. I think it really is like a parallel situation. Oh. But there's something kind of, I mean, this is why, like, you know, I think this is what makes Ray Bradbury so cool. Is it's like, what about, sure, everyone wants to go to space. But what about when you're in space and realize like, oh, actually, Earth. It was Earth.
Apollo 13 much?
Yeah. Hello. Hello,
hi.
Earth to space.
Earth to Houston, are you there?
Earth to Houston, hello, come in. So what about from the other perspectives, though? Just like as, you know, playing farmer's advocate, what if, you know, you're the farmer? What's the dilemma there? And his name being farmer is so stupid. It doesn't need to happen. He's already a farmer.
No,
I don't get it.
It did not have to happen.
I don't get it.
All. It was so unnecessary. Oh, and I don't know if you guys have seen the poster for it, but it's him. Just could you look up the poster?
Yeah,
I
I'm going
to
bring it up
when you look at.
Let me see.
Astronaut farmer poster.
Astronaut farmer poster. Okay.
You're the one on the horse.
Yeah.
Why is he on a horse?
He's a. What do you mean?
He's
why?
He's an astronaut farmer. He's a farmer.
This
he's an astronaut.
This is truly disgusting to me because it's Billy Bob Thornton on a horse sort of in the front, and then it's his family, Virginia Madsen, with like the kids like in the background, like looking up at him adoringly, like, there goes daddy. And also it's like a very bad Photoshop where his face looks too big for the spacesuit.
Well, that might be the helmet just might do that. I wouldn't hold that against him.
from the farmer's perspective, I get it. I get it. There's a guy who feel like his life was taken away from him because he was an astronaut. He was on the road to go to space. Oh, by the way, Bruce Willis pops up in this movie, and it was a very beautiful surprise. It was kind of like, oh, daddy's here. You know, that's kind of how it felt.
Mm.
But you've had your dream kind of ripped out from under you. You've got this family to support, and you feel you're having a midlife crisis. Let's call it what it is. You're having a midlife crisis. And from the farmer, astronaut farmer's perspective, hey, do I want to show my kids that I'm a bump on a log, or do I want to show them that I have a dream and I'll do whatever it takes to get that dream realized?
I get that. And I do. And I understand we only have one life to live as far as we know. So I understand. And I don't think it's wrong to like prioritize your dreams. Like, I really don't. I think in some ways that can set a healthy example for your family. However, when your dream is literally going to outer space and it's going to bankrupt your family, you need to reassess. And let me ask you this. What about his wife? What are her dreams? And what would happen if he wanted to go to space and then her dream was to go to the center of the earth? The children will starve.
So I watched that movie.
His dream.
She's a waitress, by the way, at a local diner. She's working her ass off, yeah, by the way.
And she's got dreams, I guarantee you. But you can't fulfill your dreams, even if they're small, when your husband's trying to go to the moon.
Yeah. I'm with you. Do you think $21.99 is too much for the DVD?
It's on Amazon Prime free, baby. I'm telling you.
I know, but you look up the poster, next thing you know, it looks like it's in pretty good condition.
Next thing you know, it's in your shopping cart.
Next thing you know, you're watching it over and over again. Yeah, it's tough. But at the same time, you know, hear me out. If he's, because he's already thinking this way, he can't change who he is. Which means even if he doesn't go to space this time, he's going to screw up as a dad in the future.
Oh, interesting. You're saying it's less about space and more about his void in his heart.
And also, it's like, if my dad is eventually going to let me down, so I'm the kids now. If my dad is eventually going to let me down in one way or another, wouldn't it be great if the last time I saw him, he went up into space in like a, you know, make him up spaceship. And we have this last image of dad, you know, seeing his dream through to the end. And it actually solves a bunch of problems where it's like, number one, he wasn't supporting the family anyways. So now he's out of our hair. Number two, we are inspired because dreams are possible. And maybe that then like becomes sort of a combo meal in our own souls of like, well, maybe my dream is to like be a supportive adult one day. And my wackadoo dad just proved that dreams can become a reality if you work hard enough. And my dream is to be as different from him as possible.
Mm. I like this version a lot, Adam, because you're basically alleging that the family wanted him gone.
Yeah. In my version, Virginia Madsen's like pretending to fight it, but secretly like working on the spaceship when he's not there and like tightening all
Let's get you up there.
Things.
Let's get you up there.
Oh, well, if you really want to go, then you should go, I think.
I love this version. Maria, were there undertones of that in the story at all?
No, there were no undertones. It was we were very aware that the wife was nervous that he was going to die, that he was going to leave this family behind, that his kids needed him. They were tying him to the ground. He wanted to fly away, and she was saying, "Don't you dare leave us."
Okay, so now I think we need to know, because we have to get to our dear big ones. But before we give our final answers, and I think we're all on the same page. But Maria, does he get to space in the end?
Well, a spoiler alert. So you guys, if you're going to be watching The Astronaut Farmer, you got to just plug your ears for a second here. Now, there was a sequence. Now, before the big sequence, there was a sequence that I was positive was a dream sequence, but it never ended. And then I realized it was just reality, where one morning Virginia Madsen wakes up and he's not in bed. And she looks around and the windows blow in and the rocket's going up. He didn't say goodbye or anything.
Are you kidding?
I was positive this was a dream. He goes up, and then all of a sudden it tilts down, and he starts going like a car. So it's like now just parallel or perpendicular. What is it? Is it perpendicular?
No, parallel.
Parallel to the road, and he's like going through the town. He's like a missile. He's like,
Did he accidentally build a car? I would love that movie.
He accidentally builds a car, and then for some reason he like detaches from it. He rolls around, and then she opens the capsule door, and he's like bleeding, and she's like, "Don't you dare die on me! Don't you dare die on me!" And then he's in the hospital with tubes hooked up to him, and all his kids are crying.
I can't believe he was going to French exit.
He was going without telling anybody.
That's a Russian
so
exit.
Then, so yeah, then
when you go to space.
When you go to space. In Russia, and you just go straight up through the ceiling.
Yeah. You just press the thing.
So then for some reason, they have enough money to rebuild it.
What?
And now the kids are like, no, we're going to rebuild this baby, and we're getting you to space.
See, I
and
think my perspective's right. I think that's when what I suggested is real, where they're like,
I think you're right.
This dude's fucking up. Get him to space.
Get him out of here.
The farm's done.
It is crazy he went into his spaceship alone. No one was even at like the command center because, by the way, he hires his kid to be like mission control. He's like 13, 14-year-old kid.
Does anyone play the kid who we know? Is that a like a fun kid actor?
No, his name's Shepard. Shep. That's what they call him. Like
okay,
Alan
Shepard.
Okay,
but then does he get to space?
He gets to space, baby. He gets to space, and he circles the Earth, and he tells his kids, because they're on a radio with him, he says, I wish you guys were up here, and then he loses contact for a little bit, but then he comes back in, and the young girl says, Daddy's here, and then he makes it home.
God, what a saga.
So everything turned out A-okay. And then, they make millions off of his story, I guess.
Okay, that is a twist.
So the farm is okay, or they like become like sort of a media company?
He ends up on like Leno. And so that, I think the farm's okay.
We should not be rewarding this behavior. This is what concerns me about our society.
Because this is a movie. It's an entirely different society in the movie.
This is an allegory for 2021. Because
then this dope is inspiring all the other dopes to think, hey, I'll go to space, Meanwhile, all the hardworking women. Anyway, we got a transition. But final answer for me, I'm discouraging my husband from going to space. And then if it gets to the point, like how Adam is saying, then I say, you know what? You either go to space or I want a divorce.
Or you say, I need space, you need space, I need space. Adam, what's your final answer?
Well, I feel like ultimately because I disagree with my husband's, he just let the farm is the most important part. I mean, the farm is really the fifth character in this story, I think. And I'm tired of the farm not getting the help it needs. Because you could also, like, that's a dream. You can become really successful. You could become a successful farmer. If you were formerly an astronaut and then a farmer, you could even keep your name as the astronaut farmer.
That's right.
It seems like he wanted to be a farmer astronaut. And that's not the name of the movie, dude. So... yeah, no go. I mean, but I would, again, it's like there's no good version of this, so I probably would hope my husband burned up in space. And I don't think I'm going to pull the trigger on this DVD, but the one star review reads, I ordered this movie for our anniversary. My husband had only seen it once a long time ago. I rented from Redbox and he loved it. We never received it. After several weeks, we did, however, receive a refund. I'm scared to reorder for his birthday.
That's sad.
Scared! Biker Babe. That's who wrote it.
She should be scared.
I'm going to mark that as a helpful review.
I'm taking the kids.
Where are you going?
Just so you guys know. I'm taking the kids and getting the hell out because I'll say to him once, I'll go, look, you're spending too much money on this. I get you want to go to space. I'd be very understanding. And I'd say, this just doesn't, you can't be dying. You can't, I can't raise these three kids alone. I can't, you know, you're putting me in a position that's very hard. Maybe we can find a way where you, maybe you could teach space building, racket building. You know, maybe, is there another way to get your dream realized that isn't literally going to space? You know, if I wanted to be the Queen of England, it couldn't happen.
Yeah, that's clean. Yeah. That seems like a clean analogy to me. This makes me sad. This makes me sad thinking about the guy who taught model rockets at my summer camp. Because it just makes me sad. He maybe wanted to be...
He was an astronaut farmer, but he chose the responsible route.
Oh, goodness. Wow, this really was a big one. You're right.
Yeah, it is. It's to me, it's pretty clear cut. I'm taking out a life insurance policy. I'm cutting the wires.
Yeah, of course. Everyone wins. That's a great... Yeah, you could probably... I mean, if I'm really smart, I start my own insurance agency that specializes in husbands with dumb, dangerous dreams.
Yes!
That's the movie we need to be
watching. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for that, everyone. And now we're going to get to our Dear Big Ones, which is our listener mail for the week. Okay, here we go. Dear Big Ones, this weekend I experienced something that I hope will never happen again, but I wanted to see if I was overreacting in my head or not. So my niece, who is 10 years old, had a horse show this weekend where they ride and canter and stuff in front of a judge, blah, blah. Well, several of my sister's friends also came to the show. After the show, my niece dismounted her horse and was talking to all of her people that came to watch. I was standing near three of my sister's friends when I heard them making fun of my niece. The reason was that her riding pants gave her a camel toe. This is why I had mentioned her age. She had literally been on a horse for 2 hours. I heard them saying things like, "God, that is hurting me. Look at her camel toe. And how does she not know?" And then they called my sister over to tell her that my niece's pants needed to be fixed. They made a full scene of it. To me, this was highly inappropriate for them to be making fun of her appearance right in front of her at about... and about six more family friends. They made no attempt to be quiet about it, even though to me nothing should have been said in the first place. All of what they said was heard by the group. So basically drawing attention to my niece's privates, and to me that is creepy. These were adults, one with their own child, my niece's age, making fun of a child. No matter if it was my niece or not, it would have upset me. My questions are, am I overreacting by being upset? Should I tell my sister that what was said before they call? Should I have told my sister what was said before they called her over? Should I just let it go? These are people my niece sees multiple times a week and supposedly care about her. One is an elementary school teacher at her school. I just feel the comments were extremely inappropriate given it's a 10-year-old girl. I honestly wouldn't say anything to anyone any age that personal in front of people. If anything, I would pull the person aside, but honestly, it all just feels dirty. Please help. Well, I'll just start by saying camel toes are part of athletics. I've never been a part because I was a dancer. I also rode horses, like gymnasts, like most sports people, runners. It's like camel toes are just part of it. And as the athlete, you're kind of like, you don't care because everyone else riding a horse also had a camel toe. So that being said, I think these women were way out of line.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. Get him out of her life for good. This is...
Yeah, they don't, they're horrible people.
They really are. This is... It doesn't even... I mean, the fact that it's a kid is like twice as bad. Don't make a scene about anything about anyone anymore. Have we learned nothing? Ugh.
Ugh.
Horrible.
What a bunch of horrible people.
Like, that bummed me out.
Yeah, it did. It's one thing if like her fly was down. You know, like something where you want to say like, give her a little, I got you, girl. And say like, hey, honey, like pull your pants down. Like... But when you're talking about a camel toe, it's just like, it's just a camel toe. Like, get over
it. We should really be focusing on how we can get a rocket to space.
No.
And the more I think about it.
No.
The more I think about it, it makes a lot of sense because you got to have a dream.
Do you bring it up to them? Do you think? Do you think you bring?
And this is where I think you're right, Marie. This is where the dilemma starts. Is like, what's done is done. It would have been great if, and I understand why you didn't, it would have been great if in the moment you had said like, hey girls, knock it off. Like, just leave her, you know, like if you, I'm not saying you should have done that. I'm just saying that would have been choice one. However, since now we're after the fact, I don't know what it's worth to like make a deal out of this. Unless you want to mention something to your sister and just say like, I just want to let you know, like, I thought that was inappropriate. Yeah.
It's lose-lose. Yeah. I mean, in the moment, I think there's truly nothing gained because there's the like third party of the kid. It's like anything that stretches that out makes that kid's life exponentially more horrible, even if you think you're doing a good thing. And it's, after the fact, sometimes if I think someone like really fucked up in one way or another, I will put it in writing because it's the only way to actually like, it also just like lays out the magnitude of the thing and lets someone read something in like a block, which doesn't give them a chance to be like, no, but it was this, no, but it was this. Cause it's like, you actually don't care their opinion on it at all. It's like so concrete that they were in the wrong because it's a kid and it's just a body and who cares, and just like don't make people feel bad when you don't have to.
Yeah, it's ganging up on someone. It's totally. it's them laughing at someone and thinking it's okay because it's like, oh, we're pointing it out. We're just pointing it out. No, don't point it out. And don't point it
out. In like a big sister way is probably how they felt.
Yeah.
You know what I think might make you feel better, listener, is if you just sent a special card to your niece saying like how awesome you thought she was and like how impressed you were with her at her horseback riding show. So that way, if what's I think is upsetting you is that it could have tampered her, it could have affected her experience. Like if, because you're putting yourself in that position, like I would have been so embarrassed, I'd remember nothing else. So maybe instead of like even bringing it up to anyone, because it's like, what good is that going to do? Just reaching out to your niece with something positive will make you feel better.
Well, Adam, this has been so, I think we got to the bottom of a lot of stuff.
I'm so much better. I mean, I can genuinely say I'm a better person now than before we started this.
Yeah. Same.
We can too. I think we can tell.
About me. Yeah.
You've changed.
But thank you for having me on. This is like so cool. Really?
Oh, that's you were lovely. And do you have like, do you want people to like follow you on social media or check anything out online? No pressure if you don't.
Oh, no pressure. I'd love nothing more. I have an album that as we're talking, not when people are hearing this, but as we, the ones who matter, are talking right now, it came out today.
It came out today?
Today.
How exciting is that?
It's so exciting. It's one of the many reasons why I'm so thrilled to be talking to the both of you, because then it's an hour when I'm not thinking about how it's doing in the world. But it's doing, you know, people like it and people are buying it, and the band's called Landlady, and the album is called Landlady. And it's our fourth one, but it's self-titled, Give Me a Break. And you can stream it on the things, or you can buy it on Bandcamp. There's a vinyl record. And we're, you know, I'm Landlady Band on Instagram and all the crap like that. But it's just, you know, I'm around. I'm very reachable.
And let me ask a couple questions
here. Yes, please.
Are we allowed to like play a song at the end of this episode?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can
and
do.
And which song should that be? What song should that be? If you were like, you go, okay, this song is going to get people into it.
Okay, are you ready for this? The first song on the album is called The Meteor, space themed. There's nice. More than one. There's actually more than one cosmic title on it, but that one especially, God. The Meteor, first song. I love that song. I'm happy about it. There's the inspiration for the song came. It's not really, I don't think I could tell you what it's about, but I once, a handful of years ago, was in upstate New York at a friend's house and everyone was asleep. And I saw a fireball meteor in the sky where you can like, it looks like a cartoon. It's like red and moving slow.
Wow.
And it's such a beautiful thing. And then 3 to 4 minutes later, I heard this crazy sound and it sounded like truly the like world was shaking. And I looked up and I saw an airplane pretty high in the sky and I convinced myself I was hearing a plane. because I thought I was being abducted by aliens. And then a few days later, I looked it up and a fireball meteor breaks the sound barrier. So you will actually hear it if you hear it after you see it.
Whoa
is right. I would love it if you played the song and if people listened to the music, and it makes me happy when people like the things that I make. So if you don't like it, don't tell me.
That's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say you don't like something. No one's asking, unless they are. And you guys can follow us at The Big Ones Pod on Twitter. You can email us at thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. Your big ones, your little big ones, your big, big ones. Please join our Patreon. For $3 a month, you get two bonus episodes. Rate and review, please. Please. And other than that, Adam, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
And thank you so much for listening to.
And you can say this too, Adam.
The big ones. Nobody asked me for my opinion. You swear. Thank you.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.